You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
We're back. This is Lee in for Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Excited to have our next segment. Really excited to introduce them. Let's go ahead and introduce from FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show and editor-in-chief of 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you present?
I'm present.
Awesome. And from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN in Huntsville, host of the Dale Jackson Show and also writing for Yellowhammer News. Dale Jackson, are you present?
Oh!
I was hoping you would sign off. That's my favorite part. I pronounce a quorum is present. Boomer, sound the horns.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Da-da-da-da-da. All right. Well, you know what? Today I'm going to let Dale go first.
All right. I've been watching what happened down there at the Riverfront Rumble, and I've been thinking to myself, how can I get a piece of this? So what I've been doing is roaming around the state with a folding chair, hoping to find somebody of a different race sitting down after being in a fight, and then I was just going to run up and blast him in the head with the chair like Stone Cold Steve Austin. Am I looking at legal issues if I do something like that?
You know, Phil would probably say yes.
Okay.
I'm not a lawyer, so I say do it, but Phil would probably say yes.
Just checking.
Yes. Okay, Jeff, what do you think about the gotcha journalism there?
Well, I do see the headline on AL.com right now. Man seen trying to stop Riverfront Brawl, quote, "I don't really think this was a racism thing," unquote. Anwar Prince, a Michigan Live story, by the way, not AL.com reporter. But I guess he was visiting the River Region on holiday or something. I don't know.
He was the chair-wielding man.
So, I mean, what do you think about the whole incident, the whole thing being caught on tape, and well, or part of it being caught, you know, on video? I don't know.
Well, okay, so let's look at this, guys. On Saturday, the incident, I'm blocks away at the Republican meeting, but the video goes viral on Sunday. By Monday, the national media get a hold of it. Wow, look at this funny viral video of these wacky Alabamians fighting. And then by Monday night, Tuesday morning, what about race?
Yeah, the grievance industry.
That's sort of where we went there, right?
Well, isn't it always? The grievance industry has to kick in. The race pimps have to be like, wait a minute, we can get in on this.
I don't know, the race, it took 4 days for it to become racial. So the timeline may be a little slow there to me.
What I don't get is this. Stephen Reed comes out the next day and says, look, we don't have any evidence it's racial. And then he goes on Joy Reid and he sort of leans into her that it's racist. And what is that about? Is it because he's running for Congress or what?
Oh, and Dale, today, here a couple hours ago, he's on MSNBC. Yeah, we're really looking at this now. Like, this guy, Stephen Reed in Montgomery, he blows in the wind. He has no backbone. And all of a sudden, he's all on the race narrative.
It's knowing your audience, I think. They know who they're talking to, who the audience is, who the hosts are. It's like, you know, depending on which way the wind blows, what they're saying, you know. But how can you trust him if you know that he's so wishy-washy?
Well, he's playing for a national audience. That's clear to me.
I feel bad for him and Randall Woodfin. They both have such stupid things to say today, and you just wonder which one can be dumber, because apparently that's what's going to get him the most attention. And apparently Stephen Reed is winning right now.
Yeah, I believe so.
I don't know. Beach Train is up there, by the way.
And I have not heard this, so you'll have to tell me what he
said. That's my second question. Hold on.
Okay. So my two cents, for what it's worth, is this type of video catching people in the action, and then everybody starts making comments about it. There's no context. We have no idea what really happened, and we still honestly don't. And I think it's everybody just starts making assumptions and making comments, and no one even knows what really happened. It's just, it's like no one wants to wait for anyone to find out the actual story anymore. It's just like, how many of us can pile on before the, you know, the real story comes out?
Yeah, but you're implying like the story even matters. This is it. The race, I mean, is what we've settled on. The guy could come out and say, no. He said, as he was hitting me, "I love you, brother. I have a black friend," and he's hitting them, and that's they will still say, "Oh no! It was racist." I mean, there is nothing. The narrative is baked in at this point. Now it's an Alabama fight down at the river, 1865, all over again.
I mean, it's at the river. There's probably alcohol involved.
Probably.
Yeah. Most certainly. I mean, so let's move on to the next question. What about you, Jeff?
So blocks away, while the rumble was taking place, the Alabama Republican Party was banning contributions to school board candidates from the AEA and the NEA. What did you make of this, guys? Are you optimistic for a bright new dawn in Alabama coming off this act by the Alabama Republican Party Executive Committee?
No. I'll answer that one first. I find it disingenuous. I mean, okay, school board. What about, and this is going to kind of fold into my question later, what about the Republican representatives and senators?
Or governor, or anyone.
Yeah. What money they take from whom matter? It does. But school boards, that's the only thing that matters. And a lot of them aren't even don't have to state party affiliation. So what happens there? I think they just want to say they did something and kind of parade this around, but I don't think it really matters.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think they're kind of just half stepping this, and it kind of reminds me of the divisive concept, Bill. It's like, hey, we'll just do third through kindergarten through third, and then next year we'll come back and we'll do the other stuff, and you kind of drag it out that way, yeah. And you can continue having the same fight over and over and over again, and winning the same fight over and over and over again, sort of like me in this segment. The guys go in and try to make it as complicated as possible and have as little teeth as possible. Either all do it or don't do it. And then what happens when the AEA goes out and buys flyers for a candidate and that candidate calls me and goes, "I don't got anything to do with that. I have nothing to do with that. That's not me. They're just opposing my opponent." What about that?
Yeah, that's a tough one. And I think my question is, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Jeff, you I jumped ahead. What is your comments on your own question?
Well, they tell me they're going to come back, and they this was the test vote, and they needed somewhere around 80%, they thought, to go after the legislature. 63 is what they got. It took a little bit of trickery. So not a terrible number, but not a terribly impressive number
either.
Yeah,
but the trickery was on behalf of the people who wanted – to go yes. after the legislature, so they probably could have got 80% had they gone all the way.
No, because what happened, Dale, when they tabled it, a bunch of guys left. A bunch of the members of the legislature that did not want the ban. It's like, well, this is it. Time for me to get on back to wherever, and I watched them walk out the door. And then Andrew Sorrell, the state auditor, who's also the bylaws committee chairman, takes it off the table. It kind of rushes the vote up there, and then you see what's going on, and they probably got a better number than they would have ordinarily with the full body present there.
Interesting.
So they tell me they're looking at next steps. I think they'll try in the winter meeting or the summer meeting next year, but I don't know that they quite got it.
Well, I guess we'll see. So my question is, so recently I was at an event where Terry Latham spoke, former Alabama GOP leader, and they were kind of talking about this a bit. And she opened it up for questions, and I thought I could just ask whatever I wanted. And I said, well, why not, as an Alabama GOP, why not state, you know, and put it in the law that senators and representatives and anyone else cannot run as a Republican and accept money from the AEA. And I said, are you willing to support that? And she said no. And
there's a lot of people that don't want to do that because it sort of puts them at an economic disadvantage. I mean, if a guy takes $10,000 from the AEA and votes for school choice, I mean, that's one thing. If their open position is I'm for school choice, and then we get down there and they've taken money from the AEA and they're like, maybe not this year. The superintendents won't let me. Mm-hmm. Then we got a little bit of a different issue.
What do you think, Jack?
We got a Republican supermajority. How many contested seats do we have out of 140 in the Alabama legislature this last cycle?
Two.
I mean, there were some others that the incumbents won or whatever, where the AEA money mattered. But I'm so tired of hearing that. Well, you know, the AEA is going to help me with my campaign debt. You know what? I mean, we could talk about the AEA and whether there's merit to the argument if it's the right thing to do or not. But a lot of these Republicans are coming out saying, I need that money. I got to have that money. That money's really, really important to me. It's most of the time, it isn't. And what I think they need to do is just the Alabama Republican Party, if you're in a contested race where the AEA money would have helped your campaign, not if you're running unopposed or running against, like, just Democrat irrelevant opposition, is that they'll kick into 10 grand or whatever.
Right.
This is how I look at it. You know how they used to call environmental politics like watermelon politics? Because you cut through the green, you get into the red. Meaning environmental on the outside, communist on the inside. I kind of look at Alabama politics as you're cutting through the red and you get to blue. Because I think deep down, that old Democrat blue dog attitude of conservative Democrat is still in the heart of some of these folks. I know they switched, but I just still think that type of thinking is still prevalent, and they need to be exposed. If someone,
I think you might be right about that. I think what you're saying is that the blue dogs, where they're socially conservative, but they're still kind of big government people.
Yes,
I think there's a little bit of that in there, and especially with their fealty to the AEA, I think that definitely can be seen.
Agreed.
And we got like a weird other thing though. It's not just blue; it's like big business.
Yes.
Because the whole reason the Alabama Republican Party took over in 2010. Was big business decided to get really engaged in politics and go after Paul Hubbard and the AEA. So you don't have like a grassroots sort of conservative Tea Party, I think, that it really is a presence or a force, let's say. It is a presence, but it is a force in Alabama politics.
Agreed. Okay, well, we got to wrap this segment up. We'll be back in just a minute for a little bit more. And we're back doing the Grand Council with Dale Jackson and Jeff Poor. So, Jeff, what is your second question?
Poll out today from Public Policy Vote, commissioned by Vote Vets. Say 58% of Alabamians want Tommy Tuberville to end his hold on military promotions. Do you believe this poll? I don't, but that's me speaking for my answer, my question.
Answering your own first. All right, Dale.
Yeah, I do actually believe it. Do you want Tommy Tuberville to allow people to get promoted? Yep. And knowing anything else or not knowing anything else, I do want people to get promoted. Understanding what he's doing, if you could explain it to him, I think you'd get a little bit of a different answer. But there has been a concerted onslaught by the media and the Democrats in the state and outside of the state to tell you that basically the war in Ukraine is lost because Tommy Tuberville won't let somebody get promoted. And it's all his fault, and people will die. So eventually people say, okay, I don't want people to die. So they go along and say, okay, let's do something about this. So, yeah, I believe that.
I would first say I was leaning towards no, but I think you're right. It also all depends on how they ask the question. What is the poll question exactly? Because sometimes the way you phrase the question can completely change the poll, you know.
Well, 58%, if they're asking like a loaded question, they're still getting 50. They're only getting 58%. Why aren't they getting like 90%? So I don't know. Are people that aware of Tommy Tuberville's actions in the United States Senate?
I mean, no. I mean, veterans might be a little bit more, but no, probably not.
No, I don't think so either. But yeah. So people are still like, yeah, let them, you know, so it probably is a, I think, a bad sample in the way they phrased the question.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. All right, Dale, what's your second question?
All right, Randall Woodfin trying to be the dumbest mayor in the state this week. He's decided that he wants high-speed rail instead of widening 65, which he says studies have shown him doesn't actually alleviate congestion. Of course, he didn't mention any studies, but AL.com was kind enough to include a Bloomberg study in their story about this, where it talks about inner city roads being widened doesn't actually help because it just sends more people to those roads, which is not what he's talking about. So I guess my question, to be a serious question, is will Mayor Randall Woodfin see more re-elections or miles of high-speed rail built near Birmingham?
Jeff?
You know, the thing, Dale, is that Randall Woodfin sees Interstate 65. He sees it nothing but a way for him and his significant other to get to the beach. That's the only reason 65 exists. And he puts in this tweet, what would be more fun, a long drive or a train ride to the beach? This guy's an idiot. I don't think he's really does any critical analysis.
Are you kidding me? Have you seen his outfit? He's wearing glasses and a turtleneck. I mean, this guy is obviously very smart.
The Earth just, once you get to the Hoover city limits, the Earth just falls flat and you go into this abyss till you get to the beach or something. I don't know. I cannot believe that was like his response. Here's what it is. It is Donald Trump is for something, so we must be against it. Sign anybody with a D next to their name.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with that.
I think that high-speed rail is such a boondoggle always and costs so much money and overpay, and it's just really not needed. I don't know how much it would be used at all. But widening 65, yes. So I think
answer is he will see more re-elections than high-speed rail miles built.
We're not accepting your question. We're discussing it on our own terms, okay?
Substitute it with your own. Okay, I got you.
I think you're right. So mine's going to be a quick kind of yes, no. Do you think in the state or in national that any politician is going to be willing to vote for term limits, even if they think people are watching them?
There'll be some, but not enough. There are politicians in this state who have said, I'm running on term limits, and then changed their mind because it's too important that they keep their seniority. I mean, it's easy enough to justify. And I'm talking about Gary Palmer, and I'm not dogging him for it because, you know, generally he's correct. I mean, that's an important part of being up there. So I would say there are some, but not near enough.
Jeff?
I never have gotten this term limit fascination. I just don't. You don't want somebody in office to vote them out. I mean, it's as simple as, well, they got all the money. Well, I mean, you know, it's there's a personal responsibility here, regardless of campaign money, to vote people out that you think this should be term limited.
I can't disagree with that, but I think a lot of people just are content to let other people run their lives and they're not paying attention.
You got to remember, this guy's been there a while, so let me quote Mitch McConnell.
Okay, awesome way to end it. Thank you, Dale. We'll be right back. And we're back. This is Lee from Huntsville in for Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. And let's hear from one of those most important people called sponsors.
I tell you, our friends at Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, one of the sponsors of our show, they are a chain of clinics that are doing amazingly good work all over North Alabama. They got locations in Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, 5 locations around the Birmingham area. Their 2 newest ones are in Chelsea and Hoover, and I hear that more are coming. But you may want to know they are open 7 days a week. They will take all ages. I'm talking about from pediatric to geriatric. You go in there, the staff is always friendly, the place is always clean, and I can just tell you, this is who I use. Southern Immediate Care. I use them in the Gadsden area, and they are always Johnny on the spot. I mean, they are so amenable. They are so everything is so well received, and I never mind going there. Southern Immediate Care. If you need care 7 days, I mean, think about it. Saturday morning, you wake up, the kid's got a fever. What do? Southern Immediate Care. Look them up online. Find the location nearest to you. I'm just telling you. I know the folks that own this chain, and they are amazing people. And check them out. Southern Immediate Care all over North Alabama. Find the one nearest to you and tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio.
All right, everybody, we're back. That was a great grand cancel. I really enjoyed it. Boomer, I Dale got me that last one. He got me.
Oh, that was so good. At the end, I was dying over here. Right when we were going to break, I was like, that was perfect.
I was. Good one, Dale. Going to read a couple of texts. John from Huntsville. I just wanted to say that Lee and Dee are currently in a tie for first place, but Boomer is not too far behind. Look at you, Boomer.
Hey, I'm trailing. I'm just nipping on the hills. Here we go.
let's see. Metal Man says, things would change too much too fast if there were term limits. That would be a bad thing if we had a bunch of AOCs. I mean, that's an interesting take on it. I can see what you mean if there's constant turnover, but AOC is in the House, where I would say they should be able to have 6 terms. I would say just as many years as the Senate, 12 each. Senate, 2 years. I mean, 2 terms of 6 years, and then maybe 6 terms max of House. I just don't think you need more than 12 years. I just don't. That's my personal opinion. Mike from Athens said, at least Dale isn't talking about gators anymore. Having an alligator that close to Grissom is, it's a bit uncomfortable. They're literally prehistoric, and they make me nervous. And they drowned you. Brian from Huntsville, unfettered video content is simply a meme in motion. I agree, Brian. That is very true, which is why I don't like them, because you really don't truly understand what's going on. We'll just chalk that up to a long day of boating in the sun and drinking. I'm actually going to make it to my 3rd dipper. So I'm hoping that means I get a good grade. But before I do that, I want to go ahead and pull in Alan from Hartzell on the phone. All right, Alan, what's up with you?
Yes, ma'am. Thanks so much. What's up with me? I guess I remember too much in history and read too much, but Al Jazeera, you made a comment about them.
I did.
Al Jazeera became in existence because of Al Gore. Al Gore got an FCC license to start a radio station. He kept it roughly a year. He sold it to a group in the Middle East called Al Jazeera. That's where it came from.
Doesn't surprise
me. He got his $100 million, supposedly, and away he went. You know, he put his money in his back pocket and went about his business. And secondly, Jeff from Indiana is correct. Driving a truck and he's in some kind of a shuttle system. But if you live out there on the road, it's not an easy life.
It isn't.
It's not an easy life at all, but you do what you have to do to provide for a family, the way I always looked at it.
And I agree.
He's doing that. And, you know, I went through 2 divorces living on the road before I finally found one that really understood what it was all about.
Mm-hmm. But it's hard work. It's backbreaking work. It's hard.
Everybody says you just sit up there and drive. It don't work that way.
Nope.
It doesn't work that way. A lot of sleepless nights,
mm-hmm.
a lot of kind of juggling your books to make everything work. But
our country wouldn't run.
All drivers.
Our country wouldn't run without them.
No. Exactly. And then I think it was 2015, I read an article. It was 6 or 7 companies made a statement they could use 50,000. That was in 2015. That was 8 years ago. I wonder what kind of mess it's in now.
A lot worse. I mean, a lot worse, right?
Yeah. To me, it is. And these, you know, it's just a week and a half, two. You find companies in on Marketplace, available for at least 2 weeks to 3 weeks out before you get back home.
Yeah.
That's that's the way it works. I'm sorry, but have a great day.
Well, thank you.
I'll vote for Boomer for Top Gun today.
That's fine. He's awesome. I agree. All right. Looks like we've got another caller, JT from Lacey Springs.
Yes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm winging it and I'm doing good.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with a wing as long as you got a prayer.
That's right. I've been praying too.
Anyway, the radio stations locally have cut out because of the storms, and it's kind of stormy here. Mm. And so if I interject something that I didn't exactly catch, I apologize ahead of time. But as to the Grand Council and the thoughts of Tuberville stopping promotions, he has not stopped promotions per se. He has just stopped the bulk approval of promotions.
Mm-hmm.
If Captain Boomer, for instance, needed to be promoted to major, all they got to do is bring it to the floor and vote on it. They just can't bring 100 Boomers to the floor and vote on it.
Oh, that's a good perspective on that. That's true. So he's just holding it up and causing them to do more work.
Yes, yes. They have to be if I understand it proper, when Tupperville implemented this, he didn't stop promotions per se. He just stopped the bulk of promotions mm-hmm. being all voted on at one session.
Well, we know why he was doing it, right? We know he was trying to keep the Space Force here, and unfortunately, so far hasn't been successful. But we'll see. We'll see after the next election if anything changes. Good.
I know it's chaos in the least, but nevertheless, if they want someone promoted for a certain task or duty, all they got to do is bring that person up and vote on it and promote him or deny that person the promotion.
Agreed.
But anyway, have a good afternoon and stay safe through the storms.
You as well.
And night. Yeah. Take care.
Thanks. All right, well, I'm going to move on to the third dipper. I'm actually going to get to it. I expect a good grade since I got in all three. Woo! It's called Asking the Hard Questions, and that means getting involved in local and regional politics and state politics and understanding. And I have to say, up until recently, I have been less involved. I knew a lot more about national than I did about local, regional, and state. And I think that my area elections affect me as just as much, if not more, than the national elections. And I need to stop counting on other people to make the decisions for me. And I think we all need to hold our local reps and state reps, and we need to hold them accountable. They need to know that we're watching them and that we're paying attention to what they're doing. I recently saw Rex Reynolds, which is out of North Alabama. I think he's Limestone, Morgan, a little bit of Madison County in Madison itself, state representative. And asking him, I just asked him straight up, are you accepting money from the AEA? And if so, why are you running as a Republican? And he did seem a bit taken aback about that. And he did tell me, yes, I take money from the AEA, and that is, public knowledge. But I think with a supermajority like we have, it makes no sense to me that we don't get things, conservative issues, flying through the Senate and the House in the state. I think that we should be able to get whatever we want through. We have a supermajority. What's the point of a supermajority if you cannot get, the laws you want? And I feel as if some of these folks, taking money, say, from the AEA, how do I know that that doesn't make you beholden to them? How do I know that you aren't going to be holding up or not as excited about a school choice bill? I mean, the AEA, as Phil said previously, was crowing about how they derailed that school choice bill. There's no reason that we shouldn't have the school choice bill, period. We should have it. That's why we have a supermajority. But it seems as if politics is going to play a role no matter what, even with a supermajority. So I think it's up to us to start going to meetings, going to city council meetings, going to school board meetings, asking people the hard questions, the questions that make them uncomfortable, because it's the only way they're going to know that we're actually paying attention. I mean, because you don't want other people running for life and your life for you in the background and not having a say in how your children are taught, not having a say in, you know, how your city is run. That these things affect you. They greatly affect you, even down to the electors. Do we want conservative electors or do we want wishy-washy rhino Republican electors? Because I'm telling you, you're going to get who is motivated to be out there and running for things. And you need to pay attention. This affects your life and it's important. I think that, I got to mention this one. Brian said, Captain Boomer promoted to major. No, we don't need a major nuisance, JK. There, sir. That's funny.
Hey,
love
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Brian.
It's
all out of love, I'm sure.
You should be a major. Definitely. You're awesome. I don't know, Boomer. Do you think that I'm far off base on the asking the tough questions?
No, I don't think so. I think asking the tough questions is what needs to happen.
I will tell you, though, when I was at the meeting both times, when I was there and asked, it was at the Huntsville Republican Women's meeting.
Right.
And that was where I asked Terry Latham that question. They don't seem to like those tough questions, and they don't seem to want to have to answer them in front of folks.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I don't think they like the tough questions in front of people when they know that it could be a little dicey when they shouldn't be either taking that money or at least acknowledge it and say, hey, this is, I may be taking this, but I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to take it at all because I know I would have to do this.
You know what's funny too is afterwards, and after also the separate meeting where I asked Rex Reynolds about it, which he was definitely open immediately. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't trying to hide anything, but he definitely seemed uncomfortable with the question. People came up and said, oh, I'm so glad you asked that. You know, I was wanting to ask something, but I just didn't, you know if it was the time or the appropriate. And I'm like, no, you have to start asking the tough questions. You have to start making sure that they know.
You know.
Yeah, that we're watching.
Yeah, exactly, because we're the ones that elected them.
Yeah.
You know, we are the people that elected our officials to have our voice to the government.
Right. I agree. Okay, well, on that note, we'll be right back in just a moment to finish it up. This is Lee in for Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. And here's a word from our sponsor.
ZLA Solutions. They are amazingly good at doing the things that helps you to make your business better. ZLA Solutions. They can do things like sorting and containment, quality control, help you with your logistics, your warehousing, all that kind of stuff. But their bread and butter still remains staffing. So if you need people, if you need bodies, you need people coming to work every day, they can help you find them. At blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter, I always say. They can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, get you a whole crew, a shift of people. They can also just find the one or two people you need with special niche skills that are hard to find. Anyway, ZLA Solutions, they like to say, at ZLA, we don't make it, we make it better. That's their goal, is to help you make your business better. So do me a favor, check them out, their website, ZLAUSA.com. That's ZLAUSA.com. And if you're talking to them, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio.
Okay, everybody. Wanted to kind of wrap up the triple dippers. Sticking with the third one just for a minute more about asking the hard questions, I think you could say that this one applies to all three dippers. because asking the hard questions and saying the hard statements are what could help us solve some of these problems. Not worried about being canceled, not worried about embarrassing someone with a difficult question. And if you look at Title IX in trouble, I mean, we need to ask the hard questions. Why are biological women being cost opportunities going to, you know, state competitions or even national competitions? And in college, some of these women, like Riley Gaines, who should have been the national champion solo in her event, had to share the trophy with a biological man who just decided that he was a woman and was going to swim as a woman. And I think that we have to ask the hard questions about, is that selfish? I think we also have to ask the question, you know, we need to make alternatives. We need to have an open category. No one's saying that these people don't exist. No one's saying that their story doesn't matter. But what I am saying is that women and girls who spend their entire life training shouldn't be cost opportunities because a man wants everyone to recognize his change in gender. Everyone can recognize that, but he can compete in an open category. That's a hard question, and that's a hard thing to say. And a lot of people are afraid of being canceled. They're afraid of being ridiculed. They're afraid of being called something phobe, whatever it is. And that's kind of where we have to stand up and say, we're not going to do this anymore. Because honestly, there's a lot more of people that think like I do than not. A lot more. And what about time for term limits? Got to say the hard thing. And that hard thing is, should someone who is, you know, approaching 80 years old be on a ballot? And I think it's less about age than it is about cognitive abilities. I mean, if you look at Trump, I mean, the man is still there for sure. And he's got a lot of energy and he's got, you know, his faculties are definitely still there. But when you look at someone like Biden, where you can see a slip, I mean, all you have to do is watch videos from 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and you can see an obvious mental decline. You can see an obvious mental decline in a lot of our, you know, senators and representatives. I mean, Dianne Feinstein, almost 90, can barely, you know, stand on her 2 feet. So I think you can see a lot of this type of decline, and you just have to say the hard thing is maybe we need to have cognitive tests. I do want to mention that.
Well, you happen to see some of the texts that come in?
I was
but
just going to say.
John from Huntsville has given out the grades, and you and D both got a triple plus for the day.
That's pretty good, right?
That's great.
He doesn't give that out a lot, does he?
I got a double plus, but I mean, I told him the win is definitely y'all's. You've done a great job. Indeed, jumping in with you did a great job as well. So thank you so much for being here today and holding down the fort. Phil will be proud.
Well, you know, I hope I did the show justice and that, you know, Phil listens to it and says, job well done.
Absolutely.
I did have something for Jeff from Indiana. You did an awesome job today. I'm sure it won't be long before Dale Jackson will be giving you the call like he did Phil Williams. Congratulations on a great show. Thank you, Jeff. But
there you go.
I'm not sure radio is in my future. Maybe just as a fill-in.
Oh, but it's been a great day.
It has. I've really, really had a blast. And I appreciate Phil's invitation to, you know, just pretty much a caller and someone who loves to listen to his show. So I've enjoyed it and I appreciate it. And all y'all be weather aware and have a great day.
Side.